Hi Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday, between 2 to 3, where we discuss Chinuch, education, things that are happening around the world, things that are happening in our community, and anything we can learn from to grow, to achieve, and with many different topics, many different issues that we need to address and say, okay, how do we learn about this? How do we create the world we want to be in? How do we influence ourselves, our families, our communities, and just be in the space and the world we want to be in? Today, we're going to have a very important topic because yesterday we all celebrated here Purim. Today, people in Jerusalem and Yerushalayim are celebrating Purim. And, you know, Purim is really, really still part of us. Some of us still may be feeling a bit of a, I don't know, should we say hangover? Should we, Craig? We'll see. But we do have that connection. And it was a very difficult Purim to go through. You know, sitting at, for instance, Or Sameach with hundreds of kids and adults and having a fun costume, bubbly Purim. And then at the end of the learning, hearing the rabbi standing up, saying Tehillim, singing Acheinu, getting to all this mode of worrying that we are in very conflicted times. We are in times that we are celebrating Adar, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. We have to be happy. We are happy. We are enjoying it. However, at the same time, we're not. We have brothers and sisters trapped in Gaza. We have our families that are fighting at war. We have our brothers and sisters in Israel under tremendous stress. And Jews all over the world are feeling under tremendous amount of stress and worry and connection. And how do we balance that world? And how do we find that place of being happy and celebrating and enjoying and you know, even moving on from here, because I was debating kind of, should we have this discussion a day after Purim? But then I felt, well, you know what? We're going from here into redemption, Pesach. So how can we feel redeemed? How can we feel strong and happy and proud in a good place? And not that I know all the answers, I probably don't, but I am with someone who does. And I have the merit to have on the show, not for the first time already, Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss, who is part of the Council Rabbinical of Israel. So definitely the right person as a rabbi, as a leader in Bnei Brak and the whole country, actually, to discuss exactly that topic. How do we balance our days? And how do we get into this? How do we relate to these times and potentially even historical times? So without to take more time of valuable wisdom that we can get from the rabbi. Good afternoon, Rabbi. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, and happy Shushan Purim, and please God, we should hear good news.
Amen. So Rabbi started with happy Shushan Purim, and that's exactly where we are. On the one hand, it is happy, and we do need to celebrate. On the other hand, how can we? And I'm sure Rabbi's been dealing with this question a lot, so where do we go?
Well, we have to be happy. And we have to remember, you know, you mentioned that in Or Sameach, they sang Cheinu B'nei Yisrael, and Nim B'Sarah V'Shivya. That's something we say every week, Mondays and Thursdays, in our prayers, in our davening and shacharit. In other words, there's never been a time really where Jews can sit back and relax and feel that they're totally and completely safe. Unfortunately, we've been reminded of this, especially today, and especially in Israel, where people, as you say, there's no family which has been touched by this war. There are so many people moved from their homes. And nonetheless, this is the whole story of Purim. The essence of the story of Purim is that we do not understand how God is planning his world, but there's what's called Hester Panim, but there's Venahafochu. Always, eventually, we will realize that there's a meaning to these terrible things that are happening to us. Now, in Israel, we are concerned not only for Jews here living in here, for the families who've got soldiers, for the bereaved, all the sorrows, all the terrible sorrows, but also when we read here what's happening in the whole world, we realize that the story of Esther and Mordechai is reenacting itself in the whole world, in the countries where Jews felt they were totally at ease and totally safe, and that they were top of the world, even in the US of A, the land of golden opportunities. They are unfortunately feeling the effect of this anti-Semitism. It might be called something else, anti-Zionism. It's all the same, all with a different word. But the reason why we celebrate it on Purim is to tell us that we have to live on, and we have to be happy, and we have to realize that we have this challenge to remember those who are less fortunate, and at the same time, to be joyful, because for now, folk will remember that on the day that in the Jews in Persia finished their day of Purim, there was another extra day there as well. They gave permission to those in Shushan Purim to continue their defensive action. So what I'm saying is that this is the story of Judaism and Purim at all times. We had a more difficult time. I don't know when you were born. I was born, I came to Israel for the first time after the Six-Day War, where people thought the Mashiach was actually here, but it's ups and downs, and we don't see it now. We are now living in a very, very difficult time. Yesterday, I was at a Purim Suda, and people left a chair open, an empty chair at the table, to remind themselves of those poor 140, 50 young people, or older people even, children, in captive, and to remind themselves. People had pictures of the captives all over. We have to constantly remind ourselves, but we have at the same time joy of surviving. We are survivors. We do not give in. We shall fight on, because in the end of the day, we will be the people who survive, and there are difficulties in this way. And that's how I see as Purim. The Purim is for Nahafochu. Everything will turn over. Please God, shortly, so, quickly.
So going from there, I hear completely, and I think we need to dive into a bit of a more practical point, because we do need to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to go with the rabbi to the question of how do we balance, because the rabbi is speaking very clearly that this is our destination, this is our journey, this is how the Jewish nation has been going on for history and probably will until the absolute redemption when Moshiach comes and we're all in a different place. But until then, we are not comfortable and safe. At the same time, besides for the question of being happy ourselves, how do we manage to be happy, which we need to deal with practically, there's also a question, but are we not being a bit insensitive to the people that are under tremendous amount of pain, with their families in danger or far away? Or how can we allow them to see that almost as if we're moving on in life and trying to remember with a chair or something? I do want to delve in there with the rabbi. Just, we do need to take our first break, and then when we come back, we'll go directly in there.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
1.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we are in the middle of a fascinating discussion. I'm here with Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss, who is a member of the Chief Rabbinical Council of Israel, and Rabbi in Bnei Brak in Israel. And we're discussing these days of Purim, and Rabbi mentioned before the break how, as the Jewish nation, this is our journey. There are times of hidden that we don't know how the how things are going to happen and turn around. And then there is the v'nafochu, when things do turn around. But generally, this is our destiny. And I was, right before the break, I asked Rabbi, practically, how do we address these times? But maybe first, let's start with the other question, which was, are we not being dissensitive? Are we not being almost not feeling the pain of our brothers and sisters by just having our Purim, even if we remember and put a memory? How do we balance that?
Yes, I've heard that question. I've heard people debating that question. There are certainly people who are suffering at this time, and they might feel that we're not being sensitive. On the other hand, most people believe that were we not to keep Purim today, what will we do? That would be another victory for those who wish to destroy us and eliminate us and destroy any Jewish feeling. Now, I live in Petah Tikva and Bnei Brak, and certainly on the streets there wasn't the same carnival feeling as was before. Obviously, the pleasure has been slightly dampened. But if we were not to practice all the mitzvot, and there are mitzvot, after all, we fulfill mitzvot because we have to fulfill mitzvot, and because we believe that they're proper way of doing things, notwithstanding our feelings. But if we didn't do that, I think everybody realizes that we give victory to our enemies. So we do it. We do it for ourselves. We do it to educate our children. Not all the children, everybody has to suffer or to feel the suffering. It's a children's holiday as well as anything. And we do it to feel, to realize that notwithstanding Simchas Torah, which was unfortunately, they took away the Simcha, you can't take away the Simcha from a Jew. And that's the whole thing.
So Rabbi, maybe?
The Simcha, let me just say this. Simcha, a person can survive if he keeps his personal joy, knowing at the same time that others are suffering, and we all feel in their suffering.
So Rabbi, maybe we need to define the concept of Simcha, because we talk a lot about Simcha, and I'm specifically saying it in Hebrew because I don't want to translate it. I'm not even sure what would be the appropriate, because it's not happiness, it's joy, it's clarity. How would the rabbi give us that measure? Because it is for the whole month of Adar that we have this extra Simcha. What is it that we are obligated to have and feel and to act to?
Well, Simcha isn't holut. It isn't getting drunk and partying. Simcha is an inner feeling that you realize that you have a destiny in life, that you can do something, and everybody can do something, and can we are part of a people, and we are happy in our morality and in our sanctity in our way of life. We're satisfied with that, and we won't allow anybody to take those privileges away from us. That's what Simcha is, to be happy, to realize that if we live our lives, we're living a full and whole and complete lives. It's difficult to describe, but that's what true Simcha is, being satisfied. A rich man is somebody who's sameach bechelko, satisfied in his lot. And our lot at the moment isn't good. We're suffering from tremendous anti-Semitism in the world, which is suffering from, as I said before, in Israel, big difficulties. But you could be sameach bechelko, be happy in your chelek, what you have. At every stage of life, we must find the point of happiness, the point of joy, what good we have in our lives. And I think we have good reason to be happy. I think you remember Mrs. Golda Meir said to I can remember to us that can't forgive the enemy for forging our soldiers to kill other people, and we have want to live a full life, a complete life, to contribute, to be an orla goyim, and that's our joy, is because that we find ourselves that we have a certain moral superiority, because we complete in this particular circumstance, definitely because we're fulfilling God's wish and we live according to God's wish. And I think that's why we should be joyful. We should be joyful even though we're being battered and hit, and because we continue to live for example, in the case of Israel and Gaza, whatever you hear in your in South Africa, it's irrelevant. The truth of the matter is there's no more humanitarian army than the Israeli army, who has warns people where they're going to take action, provides food for the people, we can be happy in our lot in the way we are living. And that's what Simcha is. I describe Simcha, but basically, a Jew is Sameach when he fulfills God's command. We feel that we are fulfilling God's command.
So how do we keep the balance? Rabbi, when we talk about the balance, so on the one hand, we talk about the simcha and the understanding that we're proud of what we do, we're proud. We have clarity in what we do, we have the connection, we have satisfaction, we are in the place of knowing what our identity is and living that identity proudly. At the same time, there are times that, and specifically people throughout the world and in South Africa and other countries that feel maybe it's time for us as Jews to go with a bit of a lower profile. Maybe we shouldn't try be Orla Goyim at this point. Maybe at this point we should just try stay away from the headlights. How do we keep that balance on the one hand standing strong and proud and of who we are with the times that potentially maybe no, maybe our job is to kind of wait for this wave to pass, as we know that there's many difficult waves throughout the Jewish history, and not take a loud stand, or vice versa? What would the rabbi say?
Well, listen, that's a very, very weighty question. Now, obviously, it goes without for saying that we must be careful what we do. On the other hand, we have to realize that, I'll give you an example. There was a rabbi who was at a conference, a part of a delegation to Saudi Arabia last week, and they asked him to take off the yarmulke, and he refused. The whole delegation returned to America. Now, I wouldn't say that a person should walk around the streets in an area in South Africa where, or in England for that matter, let's not talk about South Africa, in England, where it's dangerous to do so. But on the other hand, you must ask yourself a question. People ask, is that the right place to be, where you can't live your full life as a Jew? And it's sad if you live in such a place, and you have to be very, very careful. But nonetheless, we mustn't give up. We mustn't remove our religiosity or our practices just because of the people who are living around us. We must be very careful of that. And if the choices are, then we have to make a choice. This is the tragedy of Jewish life. That, you know, they lived in Poland for 800 years, Jews. And they've said Poland was Polania. It was such a wonderful country. God has given us this country. And they had to leave, unfortunately. The same is in US of A. I understand that the Rebbe of the Lubavitch Rebbe said that South Africa will have a Jewish community until Mashiach and even after Mashiach. So please, God, you should all be safe, and I understand you can live in your areas as a safety, but we have to be careful. On the other hand, we have to remember we have destiny, and we can't just bow down to those who wish to belittle us. We have to stand up. You know, when we finish reading the Megillah, we speak about the heroes in Shoshanat Yaakov. Shoshanat Sahala V'Samecha. There's Mordechai, there's Esther, Gam Charvona Zocholato. There's a gentleman called Charvona, and he's to be remembered. What's so special about Charvona? Charvona, he lived up to his time. At the very moment, and he saw an opportunity, he tells Achashverosh, oh, there's the tree that Haman has built. In other words, we all, it doesn't matter who we are, we have to find the time to do the right thing. And it's time to do the right thing today is not to bow down or to cow down to anybody who despises or speaks badly of Judaism. Judaism, the Jews and Judaism are alike to the Goyim. We should be proud of it, and we should never cow down the bananas to anybody else.
But that,
obviously, you have to take care.
Charvona, who took the moment, also kept quiet until that moment. So it's a very delicate balance, as the rabbi says. So When we look at that, so let's look practically. What we always know, history repeats itself, and everything that's brought down in the Torah is to teach us and for us to learn to grow. What do we take from those times, what happening in Persia 2,000 years ago, or to what we are living today? Are there lessons that we could look in hindsight then and say, well, we're going through rough times today, but here are the similarities. This which teaches us that could be our next step or our direction and guidance.
Well, the lesson of Purim is, isn't it, to give matanot le'evyonim v'mishloach manot ish l're'eyu, to send gifts. Haman turns to Ahasuerus. He says, you know, these people are divided, they can't live together, they arguments, they've got ideological discussions. Am mefuzar mefurad ben agoyim. We have to show our unity. There's no doubt about it. In Israel, people feel that had there been more unity before Simchat Torah, then they would be where, you know, remember all the great demonstrations that took place in Israel. And so the Hamas people thought that there's not going to be any unity. We're not be able to withstand. We have to show our unity. We have to develop it. Mishloach manot means to send ish l're'eyu. You send mishloach manot, even if you don't know it, to build up a relationship and to realize there's good in everybody. There's good, and even if you have ideological differences, you must find the unity and not exacerbate the disunity that you have. And this is what we have to do. Jewish people today have to be at one. They have to realize that for all the differences between ourselves, and there might be differences, we have a common enemy, and the enemy doesn't make distinguish between if you've got a kippah sruga or kippah or a velvet kippah or whatever. You're a Jew, and you're a Jew, and your parents were Jewish, and your grandparents, they made great sacrifices to be Jewish, and they survived, and we survived. And we are surviving, and it's our duty to continue our traditions, which are the great thing. We're probably the only people in the world who can describe our history for 2,000-3,000 years of going back to the story of Ahasuerus and Purim. So what we have to do is what Esther said to Mordechai, Leknos kol ha'udim, gather them all in together. And we have to find ways of being strong within ourselves. If we're strong within ourselves, nobody will be able to defeat us, please God.
So where are we going wrong with that? Because I've been, through my life, I've been remembering quite a few wars that every time this comes up again, and that we, and even now, it almost feels like we're not at the same level of unity that we were 7th of October, and you know, all kinds of things that, it's almost like we all know it, but what's happening? Why are we? What do we need to do to change? And I'm talking on an individual level to change this concept, because it's almost like we know exactly where our mistake is, and we keep on falling in the same trap again and again.
Yes, certainly, you're 100% right. I wish I had the resolution to your question. That's your problem. I wish I had. I must realize the state of Israel. Who came to this people were all over the world, people who didn't have any Jewish education for many, many years. And there was one thing that united them. Israel was a haven, Still, in Israel, so many people from different backgrounds, from different cultures, and Israel, because it's been at war at all times, because it's been constantly at war, we haven't had the time to develop this unity and this oneness and this understanding.
So we do we need to educate ourselves more in that area? Do we need to actively?
There has to be more Jewish education, definitely.
Jewish education about connecting and uniting.
Yes, there has to be. There has to be Jewish education,
and we do.
And that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
And it'll take a long time to happen.
Okay, so we will go back to the practical side and discuss. We do need to take our next ad break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and I'm here in a fascinating discussion with Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss, who is a member of the Chief Rabbinical Council of Israel, and we've been discussing about the simcha and the happiness and balancing our rough times and times as a Jewish nation and what we're going through in Israel and around the world, and still be happy and get the clarity that we need to, and the clarity of understanding who we are and living that proudly. And what I'd like to ask you, Rabbi, now is, we do know that 30 days before a holiday comes in is the time to start learning about it and discussing, and we are about 30 days or less, minus one towards Pesach, exactly 30 days almost. And what would the rabbis say is our message in these days? Because we are looking at Pesach as a time of redemption, as a time of being kings and feeling like kings and feeling like we are in the high level of connection. And at the same time, we are feeling these rough times and we are feeling these difficulties. So what is our journey and education that we need to take to our next children, to our communities, to our next generation, as we lead up in the next few weeks to Pesach?
Well, Pesach is a wonderful example of the lessons we have to learn, because remember, the children of Israel were enslaved. They saw the greatest miracles that could have happened in history, the splitting of the sea, the coming out of Egypt, and yet afterwards they start complaining. They couldn't get together. We have to realize that we've lived in a time of great miracles. I believe we're living in a time of great miracles. I think that what's happened to the Jewish people and the establishment of the State of Israel is a wonderful miracle. And nonetheless, we have to realize that it's not all plain sailing. That there are crises, just as it was after coming out of Egypt. And that's what we have to do. And we have to realize that, above all, it's not for us to question why. We have to fulfill our mitzvot. And we have to continue our traditions. And perhaps the story of the Geula from Mitzrayim is that it wasn't a complete Geula. Even when they were redeemed, they had years of difficulty. And when they came out of Egypt, until they established a kingdom in Jerusalem, it took hundreds of years. Do you know that? It took lots and lots of years. So things right. Don't happen instantly. We're living in an age of instant. Everything has to be instant. We have reached a new stage in Jewish history, whether it is Ikvata de Mashiach, in the steps of the Mashiach, or Atchalta de Geula, the beginning of the redemption, but it can take a long, long time. We have to educate ourselves. We have to find what we have in common. We all eat matzah on Pesach. That's the thing that unifies Jews throughout the world. We don't eat cream cakes, we eat matzah. And that is that we have to find the basic unity, feeling of unity. Matzah is the most basic food that can be, and that's what we have to learn. And we have to be so careful about it, about the matzah being the basic, being kasher and made to the proper standards. And we have to prepare ourselves. I believe there will be great miracles, as we saw in the coming out of Egypt.
And maybe that's part of the challenge that we're facing, that we do live in an instant generation. Countless people told me that they were so disappointed yesterday. They felt like this Purim, there's going to be a miracle. A lot of times we in conversation, things were coming up like the Gulf War, when Purim was a big miracle and all these things. And is it that we just need to work on our patience and realize that we're in a process and things take time and this is part of our journey? Or is it legit to try and hope and wish and maybe not get frustrated, but maybe, yeah, when we don't get that instant gratification and connection that we, redemption that we need and feel that has to happen?
I believe that we have to realize there are so many miracles happening today. I believe that in a world where Israel is being attacked by so many forces, when the world, to a great extent, has forgotten what happened to the Jews 80 years ago, where they stood by a side, I believe that the fact that we survived against all these Arab nations, the fact that people survive in Israel, notwithstanding, and they're not getting, you don't hear of people getting on plane loads of people trying to leave the country. No way. They're so dedicated and devoted and giving all their strength for the survival of the people and to keep our as a Jewish home. I believe that the fact that more and more people, this has affected so many people who are coming back to the return to practice Judaism, is a miracle. When I hear the stories of some soldiers and the great sacrifices they're prepared to make, notwithstanding what background they have, I think it's all a miracle. We are living miracle. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. We shouldn't think, okay, it's not like a film which lasts an hour and 15 minutes and you see the whole story of everything changing. Do you remember the Second World War took 5 years and things happening here in months, and we expect things to happen instantly? I believe that we Jews, with the smallest of the people, one of the smallest of people, are making contributions to the world in proportional to our numbers, are living a better life. And do you know that they make surveys of where people are happier? And Israel, the people who live in Israel, this time of the year, this time, according to surveys, it's about the seventh happiest country in the world. That's also a miracle.
That's completely a miracle.
A miracle.
So, Rabbi, the one thing that is different, and I know that as a Jewish nation, we've gone through major historical times of destroying the Jewish nation again and again and again. This time, it seems that because of technology, because of video, because of social media, we are feeling live the individual much more than we were able to feel previously. How does that affect us, and how do we address that from a religious Jewish point of view? Is it something we should avoid? Is it something that we should use to advantage of understanding the pain of other people more? Is it something that needs to be balanced? Because it's different to any other war we had before.
Sure, you're 100% right. And we have to, this is why Jews throughout the world have an opportunity to be part of this great and difficult experience. I think that the Jews throughout the world have to remember what Mordechai says to Esther: if you don't stand by, if you don't call out and tell you're Jewish, Revach v'atzala yamod mimakom acher. I think we all have to remember the story of Harbona, to speak up. And I think, especially at this time, it's the time where the Jewish diaspora have a place to play, to be speak up, to use the social media, use the media which the instant gives instant information and misinformation, to defend Israel and to show that basically much of what is said there is for reasons, not for true reasons, but are obviously often anti-Semitic, or for monetary reasons. Who would have thought that in the great academic centers in the world, that there'd be so much anti-Semitism in America, at the big universities, where they couldn't even speak against the terrible butchery of the Simchat Torah, and then we discover it's all because of monies they receive from the Qatar and all the other places. So I think that this, sure, this war is not only being fought on the battlefields of Gaza, or in the north or south of Israel. It's a war that everybody can partake in throughout the world, to be aware, to go on the social media, to use your talents, and everybody has talents, to defend Israel and to show people the true light. The truth of the matter is, of course, that we are a minority, and that's the case. But nonetheless, we have the opportunity, and people shouldn't hide their Jewishness in their point of view.
Instead,
they should use every way. Thank you.
Insight.
That's what I believe.
Well, okay. So, Rabbi, we do need to take our last short break. And when we come back, just to end off with the expectations and what the Rabbi would wish and hope to see in the connection of the community in South Africa and getting part of the Jewish world and investing, and what is our job in this whole story. A short break, and we'll be right back and end off with that.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
1.9 Chai Fem Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we're really towards the end of a fascinating conversation I had with Rabbi Weiss, who is a member of the Council, a Rabbinical Council of Israel. And Rabbi, when we talk about these days and everything, there's also the question of the relationship and connection between the Jews in South Africa, the Jews in Israel and all over the world. As part of the Rabbinical Council of Israel, what is the expectation, or what can we do as a community in South Africa on a spiritual level, on a connection level, on a educational level, or any expectation, or what would the Rabbi wish to see from us that we can do to be part?
Well, first of all, we have to daven. We all have to daven to the Ribbono Shalom, to the Almighty God. It was a beautiful Shema Yisrael. I'm sure that you partook in it.
Yeah, definitely.
In South Africa as well. Yeah, that was a beautiful. We have to do more types of things like that. Secondly, I want to say how we admire your chief rabbi for standing up for Israel so eloquently and with great courage. Thirdly, I want to say, I just heard an advert. You were speaking about the King David Schools. One of the beautiful things that I saw on the WhatsApps was the school, the singing songs for Israel. And I think this is one of the ways to keep children and keep the young generation to sing songs, to be happy. They should be happy and realize that Israel isn't a place just of wars. It's a place of great joy and great faith for the future. I think basically, I also want to mention my colleague, Rabbi Peretz, who sat Shiva for his son. You know, he's the head
very
of
important
Mizrahi,
part of the community,
and
yeah.
Rabbi in South Africa. They suffered tremendously for months, not knowing what happened. And there are great heroes from the South African Jewry. But basically, the most important thing is to be Jewish in South Africa, to be proud, to keep the mitzvahs, to daven, to learn more, to sing more, and to look forward to a geula, which will come.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi, so much. Rabbi Eliezer Simchat. Simcha Eliezer Weiss, a member of the Council, Rabbi Rabbinical of Israel, and Rabbi in Bnei Brak, and really done a lot. Thank you so much for the discussion and connection. I think we have a lot what to work on and learn from what the Rabbi has shared with us, and really looking forward to the next time we can perhaps discuss after big victories and after big celebrations for the Jewish nation, that we know things are good to come. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. All the best, Pastor.
All the best. So that was Rabbi Weiss. Thank you to Craig for managing the show. Thank you, Sana, for putting this interview together. Thank you to the listeners more than everyone. And thank you just for being with us every week, Monday 2 to 3. And we will be back next week, please God, Monday 2 to 3, again, to continue our journey of growth, education, learning, and just whatever we need to do to live in the world we want to be in. In the meantime, stay safe, and we will discuss again next week.